That's Romans chapter 8, beginning from verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grow inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Well, how often do you struggle to find the right words when those words really matter? If English happens to be your second or maybe even third language, you will probably know that feeling better than anyone. But I think we all know it in times where we're faced with conflict, where we're faced with the suffering of a loved one. Sometimes we face it even when we're just trying honestly to find the words to express how we really feel. And in those moments, what we really need is a friend who just gets us. It's someone that we can turn to in the middle of our jumbled thoughts, and we can just say, you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean, don't you? And we have assurance that they get it. Usually, though, we are not speaking to that kind of special friend. And so it's no wonder, you may be aware of this, but in 2026, increasingly, people are turning to AI, like ChatGPT and others, to word everything for them, from work emails, job applications, even requests for a date from someone they like. And this difficult relationship that we have with words, well, sometimes, if we're honest, that goes double for our conversations with God. You know, sometimes in prayer we know exactly what to say and how to ask. Praise God that he gave us the Lord's Prayer so that we can quite easily ask for many of our greatest needs, and we can do it very simply. But other times, oftentimes, we have absolutely no idea what to ask or how to ask for it. You know, how do you put into words the pain you feel when a loved one receives that cancer diagnosis that they were dreading? What do you even ask for when someone you had a very complicated relationship with passes away and you feel grief, pain, regret, anger? And all of these emotions are swirling around together at the same time. But what if in those moments there was a friend who could get behind our limited words? What if there was someone who could express our deepest longings to God, even when we don't really know exactly what they are? Well, the first thing that we learn from our passage in Romans today is that when it comes to prayer, the Holy Spirit helps us say it best. If you look with me at verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." When you know what you need to say and you can't find those words, often it can be really frustrating and hopeless. There's days where we have to ask Kenzie to repeat herself to us several times because she is only two and she is still learning how to talk. And it's interesting how you can see sometimes that her little eyes sort of glaze over, they fade off into the distance. And in those moments, she's reaching for words she doesn't quite have to try and explain things she doesn't fully understand. Sometimes she just says the same thing again, but more loudly, like an Irish tourist on holiday asking for directions. But this experience of a toddler is really universal for us in prayer, because none of us fully grasp the bigness or the goodness of God. You know, none of us are without the limitations and the confusion of sin. Certainly none of us can even see 5 minutes into the future, let alone know what we will need in 10 years' time. But praise God that the Spirit comes to intercede for us, because God knows our weakness and he gave us the gift of prayer, having already accounted for that weakness. And this is so different to virtually how every other religion's view of communication with God works in practice. You know, if you look into this, you will find that virtually always there is some kind of accompanying task that comes alongside prayer in order to make it effective. Whether it's how many times a day you pray, how often you repeat what you're asking for, adopt a certain posture, maybe perform a ritual alongside your prayers. And maybe you don't even communicate with God directly. Maybe you are required to pick a holy, already deceased person, because they have God's attention, and there is a better chance that you will be heard if your requests go through them. But for the Christian, it is the Holy Spirit, it is God himself who intercedes for us. And how does he do it? Well, what Paul chooses to say is he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. What a remarkable thing to say, with groanings too deep for words. And this description, I think, tells us two big things. First of all, it tells us that God knows intimately the groanings and the suffering of the whole world. Back in verse 22 and 23, Paul tells us that along with all of creation, we groan. That is, we so deeply long to be renewed, free from the pain and sin which just follows us everywhere. Sometimes we think that suffering means God no longer sees us, that when we are in pain, it is as if we have become invisible to God. But in reality, our hurting is more like an emotional distress signal that he has been waiting to answer from eternity past. Secondly, though, it shows us that God knows these groanings, not just intellectually. He doesn't just simply know that they happen, but he actually knows them personally. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he was about to suffer God's wrath for the sins of the world, well, the Gospels tell us that he was under so much stress that his sweat was like drops of blood. Again, sometimes we think the fact that God can't be changed, he can't be overcome by his creation, it means that he can't suffer, at least not in any real sense. But the reality is that actually our Savior was so terribly distressed at what our sin was about to cost him, and he did it to free us anyway. And though we may not have the capacity to know what he was feeling, that's okay. Because in the same way, his Spirit speaks on our behalf with that same passion and intensity. His requests are literally too deep for words. They come from the depths of his love and his desire to help us. And there is no equivalent for this. But the closest comparison I could think of is maybe that moment where, in the middle of your pain, where a loved one comes to you with tears in their eyes, and they throw their arms around you, and they look at you with understanding and complete sympathy. Because in one sense, they haven't said anything at all. But in the sense which really matters, they have said exactly what needed to be said. And so when we pray, Well, we may be just like little children stumbling over our words. But as we do that, know that God is like the adoring parent who cannot get enough. You know, at the moment, Kenzie has this little thing she does. In fact, you saw this earlier, Lucy, where she'll put her arms around both Amy and I at the same time, and we all say family hugs. But then when she wants us to do it again, she says family more hugs. And if you look at her words alone, well, they're quite imperfect, aren't they? That's not grammatically how you would say that. But when you look at her heart, it is absolutely beautiful, and we cannot get enough of when she asks us to do family more hugs together. Now, if it is true in a case like that, that a sinful human father can interpret what his child is imperfectly asking, then how much more do you think your heavenly father knows precisely what you need when you're struggling to get the words out to him? Know that even when you struggle, when you can't find the words to pray as you should, that the Holy Spirit helps you say it best. Now, if we've seen how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, it's time then to look at the what, he says. You know, as far as we can understand, what is the content of these wordless intercessions on our behalf? And very simply, we can say that the Spirit requests exactly what we need. Verse 27 says that, "And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Imagine being a sick patient who finally gets to sit down one-to-one with their doctor. Many of you in this room, I'm sure, know that exact experience, and some of us will know it more than once. But imagine you get to your doctor's office, and as you arrive, you feel that anxiety twisting in your stomach. And you're barely through the door, and you're already desperate to start to try and explain these confusing, painful, and very scary symptoms. And so what your doctor does is he sits you down in the examination chair, and he asks a lot of questions. He takes a series of tests, he scans you, and eventually he comes back into the room and he says, "I know exactly what is wrong, and I know exactly how to help." If you have ever been in that circumstance, how eagerly did you throw yourself upon the advice of that doctor? And in that same way, well, the Spirit is a little bit like the perfect doctor of our souls, because he is intimately aware of exactly what our problems are and exactly how to treat them. And because he intercedes for us, we know that he is always effective in doing so. Firstly, because the solution to our problems is in the will of our loving Heavenly Father, but also because the Spirit always speaks perfectly according to the will of the Father. And that is that God knows the mind of the Spirit immediately. The Trinity does not have any communication problems like we do. As soon as one member knows something, and they always know everything, all the members of the Trinity are perfectly united in their knowledge. Now, that said, as comforting as that truth is, I think one of the biggest obstacles to prayer that we commonly face is that we fall into thinking that God does not answer our prayers unless we get exactly what we want, exactly as soon as we want it. In that way, we can be a little bit like a sick patient who fights against their doctor, thinking they know better. And imagine it. Imagine someone bursting into the doctor's office saying, "I've Googled my symptoms." And I don't know how many people we have in the medical profession, but that surely must be the worst way to start a consultation. "I've Googled my symptoms. I already know the 17 conditions that I have because ChatGPT told me." But imagine then that they say, "Well, I know what you have to give me for the pain it's too much to bear, prescribe me this thing. They also say, I know that this tumor I have, well, we've got to cut it out now. I don't want to wait and see things turn out. We have to act. Of course, in reality, the doctor knows that the pain relief they're asking for will react badly with their body. The doctor knows that operating on the tumor will only delay it before it regrows again. The doctor knows that the patient is panicked by their situation, that they don't have the whole picture, and they are ignorant of their condition. So when it comes to the content of our prayers in moments like that, God knows when the things we ask for actually aren't going to be helpful. You know, our Father knows when we only see part of the problem, and he knows sometimes when we have completely missed the real problem. And just like a distressed patient, in the midst of our hurt, our panic, and our mixed up priorities, often the obvious solution that we want to request will not be the right one for us. And we all pray like that sometimes, if we're honest. You know, God, just take the pain away. Or, God, give me this thing which I know will fill the void in my life. If we're honest, sometimes without words we say, God, make my circumstances better, or else your help really is of no use to me. We focus entirely on what we don't like being changed now. And I do want to say, on balance, it is not wrong to ask God to change your circumstances. You know, the Apostle Paul did it regularly, I'm sure. But it's interesting that there was one occasion. He refers to a thorn in the flesh that he received. And thorn in the flesh simply means a physical problem. There was something that was really bothering him. And he asked God on three separate occasions, very earnestly, Lord, please take this away from me. He had good reasons too. How much ministry was he doing? How much ministry was he being held back from doing because of whatever this thing was that was annoying him? But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. In that moment, God told him that he would learn and be blessed far more by trusting God through his weakness than he would by having God immediately take away his weakness. And so that leads us then to a very big question. And that is, if sometimes we do get what we ask for, and sometimes we don't, well, what actually is it that the Holy Spirit asks for on our behalf? And I don't want to put words in his mouth, partially because, as we've just learned, there often aren't any, quite literally. But I think we can safely say that the Holy Spirit asks for all the sorts of things the Bible tells us we can ask in Jesus' name. He asks that you be made more like Christ through your trials. He asks that you grow in understanding of his word and your love for him. He asks that you will be comforted in your pain while you wait faithfully for him to act. He asks that you abandon any notion you are self-sufficient and no better than God. He asks that you will be a powerful witness of his grace to those who don't yet know him. He asks that you would conquer the sin which you hate, and that you would be filled with joy as you learn to walk with him. Sometimes those gifts will be given to you in exactly the way you asked. Sometimes they won't. And that's okay. You know, at the start, we increasingly mentioned that people are turning to AI for help when they're not sure what to say. But one of the big problems with using something like AI as your helper is that it is built to try and affirm you as much as possible, pretty much no matter what you say. God, on the other hand, wants you to have peace and joy. He wants you to be content, but he will give these blessings to you the right way. He will give you them as you learn to walk with him. And that is why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and as a bonus, all of the earthly things you need will be given to you as well. But see, if we only push for the easy things, if we only push for the comfortable, the circumstantial blessings, as if God is a genie in a bottle, or like he is a cosmic butler just waiting to grant every request we have, well then we've missed the point of prayer, and we will continue to be confused about why we ask, but we don't seem to receive. And this confronts me, because often I do not pray like I believe the Spirit himself is interceding for me. I think rarely do I pray acting like God himself will give me so abundantly more than I even can think to ask. And one long-term example, I think, of this being played out in my life goes all the way back to, I think, about 2013. Yeah, it goes back to about 2013, when I first knew that I wanted to serve in full-time ministry. And from that moment, it never would have entered my mind that I would have to work part-time in a job I hated so that I could fund my first apprenticeship and test the waters. It never would have entered my mind that Amy and I would have to support raise a lot of money as a family to go and study at the other side of the world. It would not have entered my mind that it would turn out I couldn't get ordained over there because of a lot of good but complicated reasons. It would not have entered my mind that we would come back again. I would work part-time in a church, part-time in a coffee shop, figuring out the next step. It certainly would not have entered my mind that I would have made an arrangement with ICM so that we could come down as a family and I would be here serving you as assistant minister. But of course, on that path that I never would have dreamed to ask for, it is precisely through these means that God has blessed us with all kinds of friends who regularly pray and financially support us. It is through this path that God has taught us as a family to be completely at peace with the unknown. It is through these ways that he has shown us how to be content living on a tiny budget. And so for us, just like the Apostle Paul, we find that God has given us so much more help for the life he has called us to lead than the easy path we would ask for could ever have provided. And so I think we find that our prayers have increasingly moved from only asking God to give us certain circumstances, and they've moved more in the direction of saying, God, help us to trust you whatever circumstances you lead us in. And for you guys, you know, most of you may not necessarily be headed for ordination, but you do have life choices to make. At this moment in the room, I'm sure we have people considering what their next step is. Are you considering a totally different job? Are you thinking about where you're going to live in the future? Maybe you're considering whether to pursue a relationship with someone you know. But whatever it might be, when it comes to the content of our prayer, well, rather than instructing God, trying to be like that patient who tells their doctor what they really need, let's be the patient who trusts that the doctor knows exactly what we need. Let's be people who make our request to God knowing that the Spirit hears us and he knows exactly what we need. So that like Jesus in the garden, the night before he was killed, we learn to say, God, I desperately want you to give me this thing. And I really, really hope that you will provide what I'm asking for me. But in the end, let your will be done, and not mine. And so we've had the how and the what of the Spirit's intercession for us. But now we're just going to take a minute to finish with the why. You know, why is it that God would provide such an incredible service for us? Why should we even bother praying if God already knows exactly what we need? And the short answer is that it's because the Spirit has purpose in our prayer. And that purpose is that prayer does not change God. It changes us. Verse 28 says, "And we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Because those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers." Now, a sense of purpose is something we all need. And depending what circles you move in, it's something that people are seeking all the time. You know, what am I known for? What is my identity? Why am I here? What sort of legacy will I leave behind after I go? And I think it's telling that often one of the first questions we ask someone new when we meet them is, what do you do? Because often, in some way, we're asking, what is the work that shapes and defines you? And I wonder how you would answer that question of purpose in your life. You know, what is the main goal that drives you and your priorities? Because the Holy Spirit, in his incredible intercession for us, well, his purpose is shaped by one very broad, but very definite direction. And that is that you will be made more like Jesus. And I want to say first off that this is great, because being conformed to the image of Christ, as Paul puts it, that does not in any way erase our individuality. And becoming more like Jesus in no way takes away the unique gifts and interests that we have. But what it does do is direct all of our differences towards that end goal of knowing and loving Jesus, because that is our greatest purpose. And so in that way, God is a little bit like a master painter who uses thousands of colors and different brushstrokes to contribute to his work in the world. And when that work is finished, when he finally reveals his redeemed people at peace with him forever in the new heavens and earth for eternity, well, that finished work is going to be all the more beautiful precisely because he has used all of our different contributions to make it. Now, there is one big misunderstanding about a verse like this we need to resist. Because when it says that for those who love God, all things work together for good, we need to remember that the good here is also defined by God's purposes, and not necessarily ours. Sometimes people gravitate towards verses like this, or is it Jeremiah 29:11, "For I have plans to prosper and not to harm you." And we think what they're saying is that no matter how challenging things seem, well, that's going to lead eventually to my life turning out happy, healthy, and comfortable. You know, the breakthrough is right around the corner, and then stuff's going to get easy. But of course, if we look through church history, what we find is that there are countless disciples of Jesus who have suffered even to the point of death for his purposes. And we certainly wouldn't say that he loves them any less than he loves us. And so remember, if God's purpose for your life is honoring him and becoming more like Christ, well, that very well may derail our personal purposes for our life. But the thing is, even if at the moment you don't understand how your struggles could ever be for a greater good, we are to be assured that God is teaching us through them, and they will work out best in eternity. It's like if we imagine the goal of Jesus' perfection is the top of a mountain, and we spend our lives journeying to get there. We'll all travel different paths. And some of us, if we're honest, seem like they spend a lot more time skipping effortlessly through the sun-drenched meadows. They seem to take the easy path. By contrast, maybe you feel like you spend a lot more time down in the rocky, dark valleys, clawing your way every inch to get there. But regardless how easy or difficult your journey may be, and even those who seem to have it easy definitely have their own struggles, we are to be assured that it all works together for good, because the Spirit's purpose in interceding on our behalf is to get us to the top of that mountain, where we will be fully and finally perfect, like Jesus in the new creation. And what's so important about this is that if we understand this is the glorious purpose which all the events of our life serves to lead us towards, well, then do you see how even in those hard times, we become a lot less like that foolish patient who fights their doctor through their suffering? And instead, we become more like the wise patient who knows the suffering is part of the process. Because even if they don't understand the reasons behind it, they trust the one who is leading them through it. And I wonder, does that need to be our prayer today? Father, even though I do not understand what you're doing and the reasons behind it, I will trust you to lead me through it. See how we rob ourselves of so many good things from God when we treat communication with him as a last resort rather than a first response? Because the Spirit stands ready and willing to intercede for us, always. You know, he is infinitely more eager to help you and seek your good, even than you are. Your Heavenly Father is more willing to receive your childlike perfection and your imperfect questions and cries for help than you are even to express them. And the Son was so infinitely willing to bring you into the family that he gave himself to adopt us at the enormous cost of our sin. So come to God. No matter how much you're struggling to communicate, come to God. Because he has promised us by his Spirit, he will help. Whatever we have to say, he will help us say it best. He has promised that he will always ask for exactly what we need. And he has promised that God will use our prayers to transform us into the likeness of Jesus while we wait faithfully for him to answer them. Father, we thank you. You have sent such a powerful intercessor for us. We thank you that you are the loving Father and who takes our childlike babblings and who adores what your children have to say to you. And we pray you would teach us step by step to trust and lean upon your Spirit who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So that when we don't know what to say,